Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Oh, my goodness. First and foremost, welcome to Trust and Believe. I'm your host, Sean T. And I absolutely love when previous guests come back on the show, especially those who challenge us, who educate us, who make us feel good about who we are, but who also put us in our place, because you know we are 100% about keeping it real here. And today, Vonnie Hart is a revolutionary food activist, a New York Times best-selling author, co-founder of the organic food brand True Vonnie. Put that in your head, don't forget it, and was named one of the most influential people on the internet by Time Magazine. Hart started foodbabe.com to spread information about what is really in the American food supply. She teaches people how to make the right purchasing decisions at the grocery store, how to live an organic lifestyle, and how to travel healthily around the world. Visit her online at foodbabe.com.
What's up?
He's better than Oprah.
Come on, y'all.
This is Sean T, and it's time to trust and believe.
Welcome back to the show. Give us a little catch up before we dive in, because you know we got some new stuff to talk about.
We have so much new stuff to talk about. I think I've had a baby since I talked to you last.
Oh my gosh. All right. So I have to tell you something that's like super important. I remembered like 6 months after that, that I was supposed to send you a onesie, and I never sent you the baby of insanity onesie. And I was just like, oh my gosh. I don't even know if you remember, but I remember.
Well, you did help me get back in shape. You're like, you need to do my program. It's only 20 minutes and you can do it. And I did start doing it. It was awesome. And oh my gosh, I'm just telling you, Sean, it is just so good to be with you again. It is so cool to be connected to you because, gosh, I just love you. I love everything you put out on the internet, the confidence and the just the straightforwardness that you have about your life and about your opinion. And it just, you know, really resonates with someone like me. So thank you.
I have to say, I really appreciate that because, you know, I'm really in this space of trying to get people to not live in a one-dimensional space. And that's why I love that you have a new book that we're going to talk about. But even with you, where people know you as the challenger to keep us healthy, to challenge companies out there, you also are very visibly a mom, a business owner. I feel like sometimes the internet traps us into this tunnel and they only want to know us for one thing. And, you know, being in the fitness industry for 25 years, I can't even believe it's been a quarter of a century plus, being in the fitness industry for 25 years, having motivated and inspiring people, I think oftentimes when you get into a career, it can sometimes be synonymous with what I consider to be not the healthiest interpersonal relationships. Like when people get married, they forget that in 20 years, like you want your spouse to grow. And so they expect me to be the same person that I was 20 years ago. I think the same way or not having grown. And, you know, when I was younger and my earlier year, I wasn't married. I was out, but I wasn't necessarily out to the world. I didn't have kids. And so my growth, the seeds that have been planted helped me be who I am. And so I thank you for that. And I love, you know, you're definitely one of those people that inspire me because you are so freaking fearless and you know that people are going to challenge you and you still, like my grandfather says, you stay steadfast and abundant on what it is that you believe in and how you want to educate people. So anyway, thank you. It's also, you know, I'm hitting the tennis ball back to you and I just really appreciate you.
Oh, well, thank you, Sean. So, I had a baby and then I wrote another book. It's called Food Babe Family. And it's so cool to write that book because it is literally an intimate look into my family, how we eat, how I raise my kids, what we do at the dinner table, everything, all the habits, all the tips, everything, plus 100 recipes that are brand new and amazing that the whole family is going to love. Like, I'm a mom that, like, I can't stand making something separate for my kids. I want to have the same meal for everybody in the family. So when we sit down, we're eating the same foods, we're all enjoying it, we're having our conversation. And that's what this cookbook's about, is to sit down as a family. And let me just tell you, it was the hardest thing to put together. If you can imagine, and I know you can imagine this because you have two little boys, just imagine like 60 family portraits in various outfits and including recipes and food in a 3-day photo shoot. I mean, it was insanity. After it was over, I just like looked at my husband and I was like, oh my gosh, we did it. We're done. Oh my gosh. I don't know how these pictures are going to turn out, but we're going to just make them work. And if everyone looks silly, oh well, because that's just what we're going to have to deal with.
Isn't it funny that people think that the actual recipe portion is hard and those... that minimal time with trying to take pictures, get outfits, like the promotional part of it is actually the biggest headache of the entire process.
I mean, the recipes were easy. The writing was easy because it was like, what does my family do? How do we make it all work? How do we survive this over-processed world? I mean, what did I do when my daughter's school was serving Domino's pizza on Pizza Friday? I tell the story. I share the what I do in those situations. And we can get into that if you want to know what happened. But yeah. I mean, basically that's what I'm doing in this book and I'm so proud of it. And I'm so excited about it. And I can't wait for like every person to have this book. One of the things that I loved recently, Sean, you shared on social media just like yesterday or the day before, how your son wanted a drone and you're like, you got to earn it. And he had to take out the trash. And this little boy, he's what, six? Five,
he's
six?
Five.
Five. Okay. I thought he was already six. I know he was close in age to my oldest. So yeah, five-year-old little boy carried out this huge bag of trash. And I don't know how far your trash can is, so I can only imagine.
I mean, it's a pretty good ways.
You know, it was like screaming to me, like parenting fail. Like, why aren't my kids taking out the trash? Like, I need to get my kids in gear. So What that taught me is that no matter how much you think you have it together as a parent, there's always something you can learn from another parent. And it motivates you to be just better, you know, and to be your better self, right?
Which is
what this whole podcast is about, right? So
yeah, exactly. But I was going to say, you know, with that said, it's so interesting to be able to teach my son, like, as we go along, you know, when they're infants and when they're younger, they ask you for things and we give them the food when they want. We change their diapers. We do all this stuff for them. And then you have to pull them off of you just being what I like to call their full-time, you know, server at a restaurant. You know what I mean? I know. You don't get a tip. But, you know, it's just kind of like, and then, you know, we had to start teaching them, all right, like you have to earn something. So then they got the piggy bank. So if they wanted something from Amazon, now they save it and they bring me the money. And so he came up with that on his own. He was like, you know, Papa, I really want this drone. And I was like, well, you know, you have to wait till your birthday or Christmas. And he was like, but can I do a job for it? And so I said, well, what job do you want to do? He was like, well, I really think that taking the trash out for 10 days in a row would be enough to get this drone. Now, you know, the drone is like $49. It is for kids. And while I'm like, no, you need to take the trash out for 30 days. I wanted to commend that and really give him, like, you know, positive reinforcement to be like, absolutely. But to your point, and this is really important to me, my kids know what protein is, they know healthy, but we still have a tough time getting one of them, the one that, you know, threw the trash bag, one of them will eat vegetables, he'll eat his fruit, but the other one is like, nope, I want chicken fingers. So then we are like searching for the healthiest possible chicken fingers possible. But he doesn't want the bread on his black bean burger because he says the bread is not protein. So I'm excited to read your book. And that's why I want to dive into what it is that you have to say, because like you said, we as parents have like little pockets of it together, but we can all learn from each other. So let's dive into this. And I want people to read it. So I don't want you to give away too much, but I think the first question that I want you to answer, because I feel like you are the perfect person to ask this, how can parents not feel guilty for not being at the level as to where you are? Because obviously you're an expert. Like, because I think we need to take away the guilt to be able to get them to start the process of change. So how would you go about, you know, helping them through that first?
Yeah, absolutely. So that's a really tough thing, because even as much as I know about nutrition and food, I feel bad too. Like when we're on vacation and they're eating croissants every single day for breakfast, because that's what they're, what's available. And I'm letting my kids indulge, but you know, I feel guilty because I'm like, oh man, I should have just made them a bowl of oatmeal at home or in the hot hotel room or whatever. I should have just, you know, ponied up and been a little bit more mom, you know, on this vacation, right? Instead of just letting them go hog wild. But, you know, so we all get that guilty feeling when we're in different situations. But what I like to do is, if there is a guilty situation, so like, for example, I think this is a real world example, we're tired, we've had a long work week, you know, we just want to order pizza, right? We want to order in, do DoorDash, whatever, we're not going to cook, right? Well, when I'm in that situation where I don't feel like coming up with the main meal or coming up with what, you know, everyone's going to eat, what I'll do is I will order the DoorDash. I will go for the pizza. But what I'll do in the background while I'm waiting for that pizza to arrive is I'll whip up some of my fast, easy, quick veggies. For example, my roasted cauliflower takes 30 minutes in the oven, but I use a little, I have a big oven, but I also have a toaster oven. That's a Breville toaster oven. And that thing warms up in 2 seconds. So you can just literally pop stuff in there. You can air fry it in there and it's fast. So I'll chop up cauliflower real quick, toss it with some olive oil, some sea salt and paprika. And I have all that in my counter on a little, in a little caddy. It's ready to go. It's in the oven within 5 minutes while we're waiting for that pizza. That's cooking, right? So my kids are getting some cauliflower with their pizza. And then maybe I might throw in a sweet potato too when I'm working or whatever during the day, and I throw it in for an hour at 400. That took 2 seconds to throw in, and my kids are eating some sweet potato, they're eating some cauliflower, but they're getting their pizza too. And then I'll serve some fruit with that afterwards. So it's like they get some nutrients along with that pizza. They're not just getting the pizza that's been delivered by the dude, right? It's not just that. So, and yeah. So I kind of lessen my guilt a lot of times by doing these kind of hacks where if we're ordering out, I make sure that we have something with it, right? And so that's one way I do it. And one way that like parents can feel less guilty about when they do have to eat out, because we have to face it, right? When we eat out, we are losing our control over the food we're eating. The food industry, the restaurants out there, unless you know your restaurant, you know it's a local organic place, they're likely using seed oils that are very inflammatory, that have been deodorized, bleached to hell, extracted with hexane. And this is stuff that you don't want in your child's body or your body on a regular basis, right? But that's what the majority, I would say 99% of the restaurants out there are using in America. And then you're exposing yourself to all kinds of other food toxins that end up in the food, like the packaging material that they're putting the food in, the types of pans they're using at these places. They're likely using Teflon, not to mention that a lot of places don't even make their own food. It's coming frozen first and they're parboiling it, meaning like, for example, rice comes already made in a plastic bag at Applebee's, for example, and they stick it in a pot of hot water to warm it up and serve it out of that hot plastic bag. So those plastic toxins are leaching into that rice, right? And that's just if you're eating out a lot of times, you're being exposed to all of those chemicals. And that's stuff we want to avoid if we want to be the healthiest person, right?
Yes.
So just think about that. Like, as much as you can prepare and buy your food and know what your child is eating in terms of the ingredients, the better you're going to set them up. And if those occasional times happen where you have to order out, supplement it with whatever you have in the fridge or whatever you need to get rid of or whatever, and just put a couple things, you know, just chop up some cucumbers real quick and stick them on the table. The kids will munch down while they're waiting for pizza. There's nothing worse than a kid waiting for pizza, right? When's the pizza here? Can you show me the map on the DoorDash app? Like,
it's so crazy. Like, one of my kids will ask like every 3 seconds, is the food here yet? Is the food here yet? Is the food here yet? And I'm like, yo, bro, you just asked me that like 18 seconds ago. But yeah. I will say thank you, because people might look at you and be like, oh, you know, she has it all together. She never orders out. But I think that like helping parents and kind of releasing the stress of making sure there's balance, and people feel like in order to be the best parent, especially when it comes to nutrition and like dealing with your kids, they just feel like they have to be 100%, 100% of the time. And we all know that as parents, that is literally impossible, because you're trying to raise kids that are, you know, they are their own person and they're in their own brain.
That's right. And that is a perfect way to talk about what happened to my daughter recently. Let me just, this was so mind blowing to me. And the whole situation just makes me laugh, because I have been so adamant about teaching my kids, both of them, the truth about the food industry. Like, we have a monumental responsibility, because we are on the internet, we understand what's going on in the food supply, we're learning about it, we have this information available to us, not like our parents did, right? Our parents didn't know jack about nutrition. I don't know about yours, but my parents did not know jack, right? They didn't know anything about any of these chemicals and the Cheetos and the Doritos and McDonald's, etc., right? They just thought I'm feeding my child and they're eating, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now we have that information. I feel like that information's at our fingertips. It's being shared so widely on the internet, and we have a long way to go, but the information's available. And if you know better, I believe you have an obligation to tell them the truth at a young age. So even at an early age of like 9 months old, my daughter was traveling with me on a business trip to New York, and she was in one of those little gas station type news stores in the airport. You know what I'm talking about? It's like mm-hmm. all candy and like, you know, Q-tips and, you know, little wipes and bags of food, right? And drinks. And so she's in there with me. I'm getting like water or something. And she's playing with like the Snicker bars and the Twix bars and the Skittles. And she's 9 months old, crawling on the ground, playing with all these packages of crap candy, right? Full of artificial food dyes that are linked to hyperactivity in children, full of additives, things that I just wouldn't personally buy and put in my house. So I, at that age, started telling her, I was like, this is artificial, made with artificial food dye. And I knew that she was 9 months old, and like, of course, she's not going to be able to repeat it and like understand it at that age, but kids listen to everything. And so anytime there was a teachable moment where she was playing with something or picking something up or interested in something that we don't buy in her house, or her somebody else was eating that she was curious about, I made the conscious effort to teach her about the ingredients in food. And so at home, we talk about the ingredients, and I just do it all the time when we're at the grocery store, wherever. So fast forward to age 6, she's at her last day of school, and there's an ice cream truck coming. Okay. Well, about 2 weeks prior to that, the headmaster sends out a note. It's ice cream day at school on this day. Just letting you guys know, we're going to have ice cream day. I write back like within 2 nanoseconds. And I said, what kind of ice cream? I would love to provide the ice cream for her class. Let me know. Happy to drop it off. Da, 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 da. I'm always there when it comes to food. Like, how can we get the organic popsicles? You know, how can we get the organic ice cream truck to come or whatever, right? If there is one, goodness gracious, right? So I said, you know, what can I do to help? She goes, oh, we've got it covered. And I was like, oh, should I press on and ask like what
I know. You're like, what should I do?
I let it go. It was the end of the year. And I was like, you know, just let her have some fun. Like, don't get involved. Like, it'll be fine, you know? And so my daughter goes to school that day. And she comes home and she says, Mom, I just want to tell you about the ice cream truck. And I was like, okay. And she said, Mom, I think I made the best choice. And I said, oh, really? What does that mean? And she goes, well, I got the ice cream sandwich because it wasn't bright red. It wasn't bright blue. I knew it didn't have artificial food dyes. And I think I chose the best choice. And it was a big ice cream sandwich. I go, what do you mean big? She goes, it was this long. And I said, oh, it's not like the mini ones we get at the grocery store, you know, that we have in our freezer.
Yeah.
She goes, no, it was double the size. And I was like, oh, so you had a huge ice cream sandwich today. She's like, yes. I go, was it good? She goes, it was delicious. And I said, oh, okay. And it just, oh my gosh, did it make me so proud and so happy that she was using her own problem-solving skills to come up with a solution that she knew was questionable. Like, some of the things are questionable in that truck. I know about some of these things and I should avoid it. And I'm going to choose the best choice and still have a good time and enjoy it and love it and eat it. Right. So what did I do after this conversation? Of course, my stupid ass, I went and Googled what's in a typical ice cream sandwich, not the organic Alden brand that we get, right?
Nobody, no.
Can I curse on here?
Of course, you can curse.
That motherfucking ice cream sandwich had artificial dye in it.
No way.
Yes. Like, and did I have the heart to tell her? Absolutely not. No way in a million years would I tell her that that was the case, right?
Right,
like,
because
I'm so proud of her for, like, thinking about it and making a good decision, like, that she thought was, like, good. But, man, you can't even win with an ice cream sandwich. That's how screwed up this food system is, that they were putting caramel coloring level 4 to make that little chocolate wafer, not real chocolate. And then they were putting titanium dioxide in the vanilla part to make it more white. I mean, just mind blown.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
You want to know what's so interesting? So I don't know if I know you've been following me along, but I'm doing a bodybuilding journey. I'm my first physique show. And so now I don't eat out.
What do you mean? I don't know this. Like, yes, of course I know this. Oh my God.
I mean,
your photography and your videos. I'm just like, is he even human? What's going on here? Right.
I know. I'm trying. Prior to that, I eat, I would say more than 85% healthy, probably 90%, because I just don't eat cheese. I don't eat any kind of dairy products. I don't even eat like tomato soup, even if it has nothing in it, anything that gives me any inflammatory, whatever. So I don't typically eat anything that doesn't make me feel good. And the only thing I'll have I have two things that are super fun, which is French fries, because I just absolutely love them, and an old fashioned, right? But the thing that is just like so wild because of this journey, and like I have to cook every single piece of my food, and it's super, I mean, I can season it, but it's like very healthy.
Have you done a podcast on what you're eating during this journey?
Not the end of it. As I get closer to the show, I didn't even tell Alex this yet, but I'm going to do an episode a day of like the last week of my show, because it, you know, it's going to be mentally crazy, but I definitely should talk about the nutrition aspect of it.
Oh my gosh. People will be so I'm fascinated. Like, I want to go listen to it. Right. I want you to tell me right now, because I need to know.
It is like super bland, but bland has become super tasty. Like, I start out my day with, I literally start out my day with egg whites, a half a cup of oatmeal, and mixed berries. And it's like my digestive system, everything. Like, I haven't drank alcohol in weeks. I drank one time when I was in France because we were at a live auction and I just had to have a little champagne. But it's incredible how just my body feels, my skin, my system, with just having, you know, I have lean ground chicken, I have white rice, I have vegetables with every meal, and it's just like this incredible feeling journey. And at first I was just like, oh, this is gonna be like so boring, you know, I didn't have any, no French fries. But it's amazing.
So what did you do when you were in France? Did you cook? Did you get like an Airbnb and cook? Or did you, what did you do? Tell us the truth.
I meal prepped almost every meal. And the restaurant that we used was at this tennis academy. And they knew exactly how to cook my food. They cooked the chicken, they cooked the rice, or they cooked the steak exactly how I wanted it. And they knew exactly the kind. I mean, you know, we kind of prepped them before we came there. When I travel internationally, and I've never had to do this before, I took my food for the entire flight. That lasted me until I got to the Airbnb.
Which is like 24 hours.
Yeah, I was in this like container.
That is an amazing tip. If you guys are listening to this, I mean, this is an amazing tip to prep your hotel wherever you're staying in advance. I did that once where I was staying at this resort. And I had seen people's Instagram photos of like when their kids enter the room and there's this huge display of candy and all this other crap. And I emailed the resort ahead of time and said, hey, my kids don't do artificial food dyes. Can you prepare something for them that's fun, but without the dyes? And they made homemade strawberry mango popsicles. It was incredible. Ooh. And all I had to do was like, send a little email to the concierge beforehand, but prepping people about your diet before you go out of the house is like an amazing tip. So I'm so glad you mentioned that. That's awesome.
And I think that, you know, for people who may be like weary of that or whatever, all you have to do is say, these are the allergies that my family has. And it doesn't matter. Like, depending on what hotel you go to, if they have a kitchen, they're typically going to work with that. So, you know, I always say it's an allergy and they're just like, okay, you know, we'll do it. Also, what I'm going to do actually in the very near future, I have a way of food prepping that is like, it's so easy. People think food prep is hard. I have a way of cooking my chicken and my rice and my vegetables. I mean, I can cook everything in like 20 minutes and I have it for an entire week.
We need a reel on this.
Exactly.
And I want to share it because I just want to teach people, like, when you're eating real food, it actually is really simple because it's real food. There's like no other, there's nothing else to make fancy, right? It's a little sea salt, little seasoning, whatever you want to put on there, right? I mean, I'm assume you're using some kind of something on there.
I use salt and pepper and that's it. That's like, that's the only thing I have. And then there are some sauces out there that are really healthy anyway. With that said, I want to dive into the book. Let's talk about all of the things that people are going to really feel, how they're going to feel better by using these recipes, the tips you have for your family. Because to be quite honest, sometimes as parents, we just get lazy. And like, you know, oftentimes that's why we do order out. And then you kind of get into this momentum of ordering out instead of prepping the food and having everything ready. And, you know, I will say, and I'm like full disclosure, you know, we have two nannies, so we have a lot of help around our house and they are like wonderful, but not everybody has that opportunity to have things, especially to like, to help you prep for your kids. So I know people are going to read the book, but like, I want to give them just like a couple little tips to help them get the book, to read it, to do the recipes, and not necessarily how easy it is, but the beneficial points of, you know, what they're going to experience when they do read it and use it.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, the book starts off, the first full half of the book is all tips and tricks in like what my family's doing. I take you through a typical day at my house, how my kids are eating, how my toddler eats, what specifically he's eating at every single meal. And then I go through all the tricky situations that happen, the school lunches, the parties that they're invited to, the traveling, all of those different situations. When they go to an event, you know, they go see Daniel Tiger live or whatever, right? Like, what do you do in those circumstances where everyone's eating Dippin' Dots? And I go through all the stories that I've already been through as a mom, but also like the strategies on how you can prepare your kid in advance, but also like prepare yourself and what to pack with you. I go through all my snacks. Like, if there's not a more like pertinent problem from being a parent than having snacks in like your pockets, hidden in your purse, hidden in your backpack, like at all times, you really do have to have snacks. Like,
yes,
snacks,
yes,
are,
yes,
important for kids. And there's so many bad snacks out there. Like, one of the things that I'm just livid about is the amount of people who eat Goldfish. It made me so mad. Recently, my daughter was taking a cooking camp, and they sent out an email and they said, yeah, we're going to give out a snack before they have their meal. And they're making all of this amazing food. They're making sushi one day. They're making, you know, chicken fried rice the next day. They're making homemade focaccia bread, and they're doing this and they're doing that. And then what the hell do they give them for snack? Goldfish. No, I'm like, way. Have them cut a vegetable or a fruit and have them practice their knife skills. Like, come on. Right? It made me so irritated.
You're like, of all of the amazing things you're doing, why don't you have them make the snack?
Or like, make one of the dishes first, have them snack on that, and then make the rest of the dishes. Whatever, right? Like, a sushi roll is a great snack. So anyways, yeah. So this is what we're dealing with, right? We have some of the best, but then we still have to deal with the Goldfish. So I have, you know, over 100 snacks better than a Goldfish in this book that you can either make for your child or buy for your child. I actually have a video that I filmed on over 20 snacks that I personally buy from the grocery store or from Amazon or wherever that I stock. And you can see that video on foodbabefamily.com. You can get that video. And I just go through it of what I'm packing in my bag, so you can see every single package and see what it looks like and what everybody's doing. And that's like, once you got that kind of covered, I go into habits. So one of the couple important habits that I want to go over just real quick, and I go in more depth in my book, but it is so important to feed your kids, I think, in courses. Not only does it prep them for when you want to do those 3-hour lunches in France, like you were just doing with your homemade meal prepped food.
Yes, I'm bougie up in this bitch.
But I love those 3-hour lunches too. I'm about to go to Europe too. So it's like, yes, I love that. And I want to prep my kids for those long lunches because there's nothing better than that. But, and all the dancing on the tables and all of that stuff too.
I know,
but
it's so fun.
So fun. And I take my kids everywhere. So they party along with us. It's so much fun.
Exactly.
But, so I like to serve food in courses. And the first course is always the vegetable, because if they don't eat the vegetable, then they're probably not going to, I mean, in all actuality, all the other stuff is like more exciting for them to eat. So if they are hungry and they sit down at the table, they're going to eat their vegetables. And I just serve like at least 2 to 3 vegetables. And so they get to choose which vegetable they want. I love eating vegetables, so I eat all the leftovers anyways. And it's so awesome. And my kids eat vegetables every single meal. Usually at breakfast, it's in some form of a popsicle or smoothie that the greens are mixed into, or some kind of hash. But, you know, at the other meals, like the cauliflower I mentioned, or, you know, I make vegetables that are tasty and delicious. Like, they're not like, you know, half steamed and they're still hard and they have no flavor. Mm-mm. Like, I have to make them tasty for myself, but also for them. And that way they really get to enjoy them. And then the other piece is when I'm making something like a pancake or a waffle, like, I'm not serving them Eggos, right? I'm not going to serve them the same, you know, pancake recipe that's made with white flour every single time. I'm going to switch it up. I'm going to use almond flour some days. Then I'm going to use buckwheat flour the next week. Then I'm going to use oat flour. So every single time I'm making pancakes, I'm making them different. I'm making them with different flours, because then they get a wide range of nutrients. They're not just being exposed to white flour where they're only going to like that. They get exposed to really healthy grains. And I love doing that. I do that with the waffles. I do it with pancakes. I do it with biscuits. I do it with muffins. I use all different varieties of flours in my muffins, you know, and a lot of times I'll sweeten those muffins with mashed banana, a little honey, maple syrup, some vanilla. I mean, they're delicious and they're so good. And a lot of times I'll hide spinach in there too. Like if I make blender muffins, which is like the best trick in the world, is like if you are making muffins and you're like stirring it in a bowl and you're doing this, like forget that, right? Like throw everything in a blender, hit the button,
yes,
and you can throw spinach in there and it blends it all up and it's in the muffin and they don't even know it. It's not that they care to know it. Some kids would hate the color of it or whatever, but if you make them super green, you can make them Hulk muffins or monster muffins and you know, and during Halloween or whatever, or just all the time, or dragon muffins, you know, or dinosaur muffins, whatever you want to do. But there's such fun ways to incorporate vegetables and also cool flours that aren't just the white refined flour that's not really nutritious. So
right, I love that. I need to make some Hulk muffins for my kids. They would like.
I'll send you the recipe.
Please do. Another thing is, you know, we were just talking about you love taking your kids out. They party with you. They have fun. We're the same way. We just love taking them and letting them see the world or wherever we travel. A tip on helping parents navigate being out and eating at a restaurant with their kids and not just ordering from, because we don't just order from the kids' menu every time. So how do we manage that?
Well, when you're in France, you can order from the kids' menu, which is pretty cool because there's always nice piece of, like, they usually have like filet mignon or steak on there and like vegetables.
Yo, we were in the Nice airport and we got to this restaurant. And I always, again, I'm bougie, so it's fine, but I always choose the best restaurant in the airport. I'm like, I'm going to find the best place. So we get there and they had like, the kids' menu was like, filet mignon. It was like,
and it's like a little piece like this, but like, you know, it's
they
like,
did not,
you know,
serve one chicken finger. It that was not, I was like, oh, this is my life. And they were like, even if the burger was grass fed, I was like, let's go. Like, I'm about this life. Anyway, but yes, that's one of the hardest things for parents, to just not go and be like, okay, you're gonna get the grilled cheese and the French fries, or, you know. And I mean, we've been guilty of it, obviously, because there are times where you're like, I cannot deal with this child.
You have those times and you know, you just have to, again, have some grace for yourself, move on. You can do better the next day. Some tips that I love is like when I sit down for a meal, well, first of all, we really have to, as parents, model the type of behavior we want to see in a restaurant at home too. Like if you let your kids run around and take bites and never sit down for a meal, they're not going to sit at a restaurant either, right? It's just not going to happen unless you put an iPad in front of them or something like that. You really have to sit down and model like sitting down for a meal, enjoying it, having conversation for them to have an enjoyable experience out. And my daughter now, who's six, has these 2 and 3 hour lunches when we go to St. Bart's. We go every summer for a few weeks and it's a French island. And yes, so it's, you know, and it's so much fun because there's a fashion show, people are dancing on the tables, then the saxophone guy comes out.
Fire.
You know, there's all sorts of things that happen, right?
Yeah.
And during that 3 hour period, you know? And so, and then she makes friends too, which like the French kids are all really friendly. And so it's just, it's so cool. But it's really important to think about what you can do ahead of time to model that. Now, once you're at the restaurant, one of the things that I always do is in my bag, I have like sticker books. I've got, you know, all the toys. I've got Wiki sticks. I got magnetic men. I got all the things that, you know, will keep their little hands busy while they're waiting for food. So they're not asking me where the food is every 5 minutes.
Exactly.
And then one of the things I do is I'll whisper to the waiter or waitress and I'll say, hey, could you bring the bread basket at the end of the meal? Like, can you bring it? Don't bring it all hot and yummy right now. Like, can you bring it at the end of the meal? So we have our salads and our vegetables first, or we have our main meal first. And what I do when I see a menu, I'll take a glance at the menu. I'll read the whole menu before I even read the kids' menu and see if there's something on the whole menu that my kids would love to eat. And then I'll read the kids' menu. And then sometimes I'll order one of the kids' meals and then one of the regular menus and I'll mix and match. Or if the kids' menu is awesome, you know, and they have the filet and they have the mahi-mahi on there, you know, maybe one kid gets the mahi-mahi, one gets the filet with the broccoli, and, you know, let's just be honest, they're going to get the French fries, you know, and then they can switch and swap and have surf and turf or whatever. And that's one of the things I always love to do is order two things off the kids' menu. And then they can have not just the, you know, the chicken fingers, but like say they wanted the chicken fingers, then you would also order the, you know, mahi-mahi and with the broccoli. And so they'd have a little bit of everything. So they get that's what cool. they want, but they also have some of the other good stuff.
One of the things that we've, well, it was kind of my idea, no shade to Scott, but it was, I was trying to think of, you know, psychologically, how do you want to set up your kids to have like a really good meal and understand that you don't like, you want to be open to new ideas. So I taught them like etiquette. So now my kid sits down, they grab the napkin, they're like, Papa, I'm doing my etiquette. And then their mind just becomes more open to like, I'm like, okay, like, what do you guys want to eat? What do you want to have? And I'm like, if they don't want something quote unquote healthy, I'll make sure they have something off my plate. And Scott came up with this. You have to try something new no matter what, even if you don't like it, you have to try something new every meal. You know, we know they're not allergic to it. And that's also really helped them be like, oh, I want to order that next time. So it's, you know, not just the same thing over and over and over again. But the etiquette thing is like super fun because then they feel like they're really special. They're like, oh, I'm doing my etiquette. You know?
Oh, I'm totally going to use that. I'm totally going to use that word and try to like instill that because lately my 2-year-old has been throwing his napkin on the ground. He thinks it's hilarious to throw it on the ground. As soon as we use cloth napkins, so I'm doing the laundry for that, right? So it's like, what are you throwing it on the ground? I just washed that, like, you know, folded it and put it away. And then I put it on the dinner table and you're throwing it on the ground. Like, what's going on? So I need to rein that in. I did not expect to be going into this podcast getting all the parenting tips from you.
Oh, well, we are sharing. So this is great.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
So let's talk about, when is the book out yet? I don't even...
It's out in October okay. 17th. Yes, okay, you can pre-order now. Pre-order helps so much because it tells bookstores everywhere to carry it. But you can get it anywhere books are sold, like Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all the indie bookstores.
Yes. So I just want to tell everyone, you know, Food Babe family, you guys need to pre-order the book. Go now. I know I have one more question for Vani, but I know that a lot of people are always interested in nutrition. Our podcast is really great when we have nutrition talks on here, and the Food Babe is literally the queen of it all. I did have one random question because I've run into a lot of people who buy cookbooks but don't use them. How do you get people to actually, they invest in a book but they don't invest in the process? You know, how do you get them to just start investing in that process? People might get overwhelmed and like, oh, I have to go get the ingredients and all that stuff. So I just want to, you know, I want to give them a ramp up to prepare for the book so that they can be ready to make all of the delicious things.
So one of the things that I'm guilty of that. I'm so guilty of that. I buy cookbooks to look at the photos, right? Especially if it's someone I love. I mean, everyone should buy, yes, Food Babe family, just for the sake of like, you could be like, oh man, they got all these shots and these kids are smiling and happy. How in the world? You know? Yeah. Anyways, mind blown. But No, seriously, like I do buy cookbooks just to look at the pictures, right? Like when Gwyneth Paltrow comes out with a new cookbook, I'm like, oh, I want to just see her smiling face. You know what I mean? Or whoever, right? My friend Kirsten Cavallari, I'm like, yeah, look at those beautiful photos of her, right? And I love her. Actually, I love her recipes too. But I really do think that the most important thing once you get a cookbook is not to make yourself overwhelmed and crazy and think you have to make like 10 recipes that week. Make one recipe a week, right? It could be one breakfast, one lunch, one dinner, and just give yourself a challenge about that, right? Because even just making one meal a week could change or replace one of the meals that you were eating that or was like subpar. Like for example, you know, you're used to making, you know, frozen waffles in the morning and you see my new recipe for waffles and you realize that if you make them in bulk, you can freeze them and you don't have to, you know, make them every single time. You realize like, oh my gosh, I'm eating these awesome waffles with like really good flours, really good ingredients every single week. And I only had to make them once and I just freeze them and I'm good to go. Like you start to really surprise yourself in how easy it is to live this lifestyle and replace all of the stuff that you might be buying in the store that's full of processed ingredients.
I will second that because just being on my journey of food prep, you think like, oh, I have to like spend this much time to do something. But when you go to your refrigerator or your freezer all week, and sometimes if you freeze stuff, you can last for 2 weeks. You don't even understand how much time it saves. You can throw things in the air fryer. You can throw things just like on the stove really quick. I try not to cook too much in the microwave. Like I'll actually heat up things on the stove. You think that prepping takes a long time, but it actually saves you so much time.
So much time in the future. Like, I mean, there's this dish that my kids love for lunch and my daughter takes it to school, but to make it every single day would be just a pain. And it's like it when I can make a big pot of it, it's like this turkey meat sauce with this lentil rotini tomato. Are you, you're like, what?
I mean, anything that sounds like that right now, that's not on my
bodybuilding plan. You can't eat tomato sauce?
Well, I can't eat tomato sauce because a lot of times I get indigestion, believe it or not. I'm being very, very strict right now, you know, but once I'm out of my strict zone,
can you invite me to your meal when you are out of the strict zone? I just want to.
Oh my God. Yes.
I'm coming.
Yes, absolutely. I hope you are ready though, because it'll be good.
I want to know what's your food vice?
It's really just French fries.
It is. Okay.
Like I literally can go to a resort and I can be at the pool and I can eat, well, I can't eat Caesar salad, but I can get like a salad or whatever, or like just grilled chicken or like this, whatever. But the French fries are the thing that I want to dip it in ketchup and mayonnaise. I want to do the whole thing, but then I don't even do that much anymore because my stomach hurts. It's weird. I love cheesesteaks, but I can't eat them because I can't eat cheese. So even ice cream, I can't eat ice cream anymore. And I used to be like stressed about it because I was just like, oh my gosh, I want to eat it. And I used to eat it anyway and be miserable. And then like, I would say, oh, I'll just take, you know, the lactate pill, or I'll just, you know, Tums. And I'm just like, it just became not worth it. Yeah. You know, it's just like, I don't want my body, my insides to feel like that. But French fries do not hurt me. So French fries, I mean, it's really French fries in an old fashioned. You know what I'm saying? I know I'm boring, but I love a watermelon salad. Oh my gosh.
With like a little like, feta. Can you eat feta? Feta on
I can
top?
Eat feta. Feta is the cheese that doesn't hurt my belly, but all right. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I feel like we need to go to dinner right now. You guys, obviously, if you've listened to the show before and you've been a fan of the show for a long time or a listener for a long time, you know you can find a Food Babe on Instagram. I suggest if you have never heard or met Vonnie before, please go follow. She will educate your life in every way when it comes to food. And you will be inspired in how challenging she is to hold people accountable for our health. Vonnie, do you have any kind of last words for the Trust and Believe crew, listeners?
Yes. So I just want you guys to remember that, again, we have a remarkable moment in history that we have so much information about food at our fingertips, and we have the opportunity to teach our little children to be the next generation of really great eaters and to demand safer and healthier food for everyone. So everybody out there that's listening, share information about food and what's in it with everyone you know, and that's how change happens.
Thank you so much for being on the show. And like, okay, we have to make a promise that we have to break bread together one day. Let's just do that.
Yes, yes.
All right.
You got to tell me where you're traveling, because we're always traveling too. So it's like, we'll meet up.
All right. I'll just say trust and believe will make it happen. Thank you all for listening.